Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
We'll be right back. right, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz. Darren Bresnitz is out in LA, taking my spot out there. That was just Leave the Planet. Sarah, Where Are You? Who will be live in studio today. Really excited. Big shout out to K9 Records. Leo, also in house. Thanks for setting that up. But before we get to that, we have the boys from Braven Brewing in house giving us some beer. Eric Marsh, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
It's cold out there.
Yeah. It's kind of par for the course this year, though.
I know. I made the mistake of coming back to New York like about 2 months too early.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like the cold brews creativity, so, you know.
I see what you did with the word brews.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Told you, I'm natural at this thing.
You should get a radio show.
Yeah. Okay. So why don't you guys take us back to the beginning, which is not that long ago. Tell us a tale.
Sure. Eric and I have been friends for a very long time, about 14 years. And then about 5 years ago, we were both doing our different things. I was in grad school, and Eric was working as a...
What were you in grad school for?
I was getting my MBA in marketing.
Okay.
At Fordham University. Go Rams.
Plug for Fordham.
I know. Sure. Yeah, why not?
That will take $10,000 off your student loans.
God, that'd be nice.
I went to Georgetown Law School. Did I get anything?
We looked for like a little distraction, a little hobby. And we both decided, like, let's give this homebrewing thing a shot. Mm-hmm. We both really love drinking beer together. We have been for a very long time. And it was just something we wanted to do for fun. And
I think the timing on it was something that we couldn't have anticipated being any better. I was at work, not really loving my job.
What were you doing?
I'm a lawyer by training and a brewer by choice.
Okay.
And about 5 years ago, I'm sitting at work. And Marshall and I are talking on GChat, and he sends me a link to a homebrewing kit. Mm. He says, hey, what do you think about this? And I actually, in the other tab of my browser, had the exact same kit up at the same time. I was already looking at it.
Right.
And so I thought, well, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
Like, this is clearly something we're going to do.
And had either of you had any experience before doing homebrewing?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all. Yeah, total serendipity. So,
amazing.
Yeah, it was great. And we did a bunch of... kits to get started, some really, really basic intro level stuff.
Yeah.
And then as we kept going with it, we want to try more and more complex and get to like all grain. And that's what we've been doing. And so that was 5 years ago. And then about 2 years ago.
Wait, before we get to 2 years ago, any like unbelievably what you thought would have been brilliant, that's just when you got to the first hit, you're like, this is a terrible, terrible concoction that we've made.
Yes.
There were a few.
The Russian Imperial Stout was an absolute disaster.
That was
why is that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what was the aspiration and where did it end up?
Well, the hope was to have a very high alcohol, high gravity, just really strong Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
Something that I think it was like early March. It was just coming out of the winter and we thought it'd be great to celebrate the end of it with this big dark beer, and we were going to have a whole party that
really
boozy. The hope was that we would pour it over ice cream and make these Russian Imperial Stout floats. We
big
had this
plans.
Whole thing planned out.
Big oh plans. Yeah,
and then I won't get too technical on it, but when you have a very high alcoholic beer, you need a lot of yeast to turn all that sugar that's in there into that big alcohol.
Right.
And we didn't. we had a very small amount. We didn't pitch enough to get it going. So what we wanted 9% alcohol, and I think we got 4.5%.
Right.
And the other 4.5% is what the sugar that would have turned into alcohol. So it was still this syrupy, I'll call it kind of gross.
It was.
Sugary flavor.
Oh, and we invited all of our friends over for this party.
Oh,
too.
Even like.
Oh, yeah. This is like our big debut. Like, we're having this ice cream party with beer floats.
We're beer makers, so yeah.
Yeah.
We still had the party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, you know.
It was a lot of like trying to convince ourselves this wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And trying to convince our friends it wasn't bad.
It's good, guys.
It's sweet. Yeah. It's on the sweeter side. It goes with the ice
They're
cream.
They're like, don't quit the day job and don't drop out of school yet.
No. No.
There was plenty of other situations where you didn't clamp down the right hose at the right time, so it just starts spraying 180 degree sugar water all over the place, and it's basically napalm at that point. But you mess this up once and you learn, so you don't do it again.
And when did you guys feel that you maybe turned the corner where like you're like, okay, we're consistently turning out great batches?
Yeah, it was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Again, like I was doing I was out of school doing marketing agency mm-hmm. stuff. Eric's still the lawyer, but we both were really excited about what was happening just in beer culture in New York City. We think that we'd be able to make a beer company, a brewery here, that would be able to make some really good beers. I was living in Bushwick at the time. I'd moved out there a while ago, and we kind of stumbled upon the history of brewing in Bushwick, how there used to be over 24 breweries in the neighborhood. Mm. So we thought this would be a great opportunity to be the first brewery in this neighborhood in almost 40 years. So we started working on a business plan, worked with some local graphic designers, kind of came up with a nice logo, came up with a couple of styles that we thought would be really great and kind of introduce as our flagship beers.
On that beer front, one of the things that a lot of home brewers do is test the limits of what they can create, and they just go variety, variety, variety.
Right.
You brew something, you try something crazy, it works or it doesn't, you move on. And when we decided kind of on the styles, that's when we locked ourselves in.
Right.
And said, we're going to just figure these two things out.
And what are the styles?
It's a white IPA and a black pale ale.
Now, what makes something a white IPA?
The short answer is wheat.
Okay, that's fine.
So a white beer, it usually just means that there's a lot of wheat in the malt bill.
Yeah.
So this one is half wheat, half Pilsner malt.
Right.
So it's a very Belgian style base.
Right.
You still have some orange peel and coriander in there for a little spice, but it's American ale yeast and all American hops. So it drinks that kind of like citrusy, piney flavor of an American IPA, but it has the base of a Belgian beer. So it's super crisp and easy to drink, but still has a whole lot of big hop flavor.
Right. And why? How did you end up landing on those two flavors?
We talked about a couple of different styles that we want to do. We didn't want to just do a straight IPA or just a regular lager, because if this is what we're going to start out with, we need to do something a little distinctive. We did I'll call it a research trip to Colorado.
Sure.
About a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Just go drink a lot of beers. Yeah, it's research.
Yeah.
So I've
done a lot of research trips.
Just
I can't
one
wait
day.
To get into my whiskey business.
One day, yeah, exactly. So we found this one beer that was from Oregon. That was a white IPA.
Can you shout it out?
It was called Chainbreaker from Deschutes in Bend, Oregon. So we had that, and we'd never really had anything like that on the East Coast before. You can't even get really Deschutes on the East Coast very well. And so we tried that, and we're like, you know, this is a really unique style, something different we hadn't really seen before. We both really liked it. We just kind of looked at each other and said, oh, this is different. This is really cool. Let's see if we can make something like this. And we also, incidentally, had this idea we wanted to have all of our branding black and white. Just like really simple, sleek, distinctive. And so we're like, well, this would make sense to have a white IPA. And then we said, oh, maybe we should do something that's black too. So that's how we ended up coming with a black pale ale also.
Got it.
So that's how they kind of come together.
Evolution. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about going pro and that decision, Craft Beer Week, what's coming up next to you guys. Spit out, spit it out, spit it out, spit it out, spit it out.
Just say what you want to say, because I can't read your mind. I think it's out. breathing in some sort of way, but all you're saying is nothing, so nothing's what I hear. Just say what you want to say, cause I can't reach your mind. We can figure this out together, and we will be just fine. Spit it out,
We are back with Braven Brewing. So I want to, you know, going pro, I feel is like, you know, there's a, it's one thing to both send each other a link to a home brewing kit. It's another thing to be like, all right, we're doing this. What was kind of the conversation evolution from like home brewers to like, well, we're going to take this all, we're going all the way.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of an entrepreneur at heart. I previously had a business in DC. Mm-hmm. I had a English clothing store. I just sold English brands, and that closed with the recession. And so I went back to school, did the marketing agency office job thing, and I was just over it again. I was ready. I had the itching. Mm. I was like, oh, I need to do something. I need to do my own business again. And so I have a real affinity for writing business plans, like just putting all my stuff, like all my thoughts out on paper. And I just had it with like agency life, and I was like, I just need to do this again. I really want to do this. And it took about a week of convincing Eric, not too much. It didn't take a whole lot. Yeah. I was like, Eric, come please do this with me. Like, we need to do this together. There's no one else I want to work with.
Well, sorry to jump in on you, but when you start homebrewing, everyone always thinks 2 weeks in, or the minute they have a really tasty beer, they go, oh my God, wouldn't it be cool if we ran our own brewery? And Every home brewer has had that conversation either with themselves or anyone they work with. And it sounds awesome. And you always keep that in the back of your head. So when Marshall kind of made that decision that he was definitely going for it and started talking to me, and then we both got on the same page with this is how we're moving forward, it was that thing that we had talked about years before as a, oh, wouldn't it be cool? Yeah, I guess one day.
Right.
And then turning that into an actual process. It's the dream into reality process is, it's a long road, but that was the beginning of it.
Yeah. And we had pretty realistic expectations of how long it was going to take. Right. We knew we weren't going to, and we're not sitting on like a bank account of millions of dollars.
Right.
So we set out a timeline of everything we needed to accomplish over essentially a year and a half.
Got it.
And it was slow going, but the first thing we knew we wanted to do was a Kickstarter, which is, you know, the most Brooklyn thing you can possibly do to start a business. But it worked.
Yeah.
It drummed up some interest and some press, and we got some money out of it, too. So it was a good kind of proof of concept for us.
Yeah, it's incredible. What, any particular hurdle that just kind of came out of nowhere that you guys were not expecting to navigate? Or any advice to wouldn't this be awesome to going pro advice you would give to somebody?
Everything takes longer than you want it to.
Yeah.
And the second it starts, it goes faster than you can anticipate.
Interesting.
So at the same time, things are happening too fast and too slow. And just knowing that you need to be extremely flexible. If you have one idea of what you want to do and that's all you're going to do, and that's all for you, then stick by your guns.
Right.
And it'll take longer than you anticipate.
Sure.
But if you want to get to a specific end goal, and if that goal is just opening your own space and changing what you do as a hobby into your life, then you have to be flexible. Work with the people you need to work with. Find the way that's your path is going to reveal itself.
Yeah, we've had probably 17 different business plans by this point, and you just have to be flexible always. Like, we've had a lot of roadblocks or, you know, things we didn't want to have happen, or things that happened fortuitously. We didn't expect things to happen that were really beneficial to us. So sometimes you have to seize opportunities, and then other times, you know, this isn't, maybe wasn't what we were planning on doing, but let's, you know, pivot a little bit and work with this new opportunity instead.
Now that I've heard us both answer that question, I realize how cryptic both of those answers
were. Yeah, incredibly cryptic. Yeah.
Do you want specifics?
One specific. The government.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
Permitting and the cost of permitting and the time that it takes to get everything set up, it always takes longer than you think. There's a lot of legal back and forth. Mm. There's a lot of forms and a lot of information you need to know. And knowing what you need to know is near impossible.
Right.
Unless you have some sort of mentor or someone guiding you through the process.
Right.
I'll give one more specific then.
Okay.
So last year, we put together this amazing business plan, and it was immaculate. It was designed. We had the whole thing designed by our graphic designers, and we were looking to raise a certain amount of money, and we thought, this is amazing. Who wouldn't want to buy into this business? Like, where we have all of our plans set, we have all of our projections, we're going to make everyone rich. And we like pitched it a lot to a lot of people, a lot of friends and family, and it just, a lot of people were interested, but we weren't going to approach nearly the amount of money that we wanted to build out our own brewery right away. It just wasn't going to be an option. So then we said, but then at the same time, we got in touch with like a distributor, and we started talking with them, and they said, you know, maybe not worry about this right now. Let's get some this going. We can brew elsewhere. You don't have to do it at your own space right away. So that's what we ended up doing. So we're still planning, definitely going to be building out our own brewery, but we didn't raise the money that we wanted to. And we actually have gotten by so far without having to have the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we needed to raise. But, you know, it's like we said, you have to just kind of seize these opportunities, and maybe you don't need to raise all the money right away.
Right. Interesting. So I know that you guys are going to be heavily involved in Craft Beer Week, which starts on the 20th. What do you guys have planned for it?
Well, right now we have three events on the books. I think, actually, I'll say two, because one of them is still, we're getting the details locked in. But on Tuesday, we're at Kenmare House, and on Wednesday, we're at Gloria Tibaldi. Both of them are celebrating kind of local New York City brewers, people who have started up in the past year, year and a half, and getting everyone introduced to the kind of new players in the game, which is awesome because we have such great company out there right now. I think we're something we realized whenever we traveled out west, especially like Denver, San Francisco, you see this huge community of breweries on every couple of streets, and we're getting there for New York, which is something we always saw happening and wanted to be a part of.
That's great. Yeah. Who do you want to shout out? Couple your favorites.
First one, well, there are a bunch. Finback Brewery, some really good friends of ours based in Glendale, Queens. Kevin and Basil
are
really
amazing beer.
Great beers. We just did a radio show, we said, with Threes Brewing in Gowanus. They make some good stuff. Folks Beer, Travis from Folks Beer. How many are the Transmitter in Long Island City, Big Alice in Long Island City, Rockaway. Other half, I feel like they've been probably the biggest player in the last year to really blow up New York City.
Our friends Radiant Pig in Queens.
Yep.
Making awesome stuff.
Yeah. So there, there are so many of them right now.
Just a few.
Can keep going.
And the cool thing is that most of these guys are new to the scene, at least in the past couple years, on their own. Mm-hmm. Many of them have worked other places, or now this is them hanging their name on the wall and kind of making their own way. And so all of us are part of this rising tide of New York beer. And the whole state has a lot going on, too. And the government's very friendly with helping push these projects forward. And it's cool to be involved.
That's great. So what's next for you guys? What's on the horizon?
Well, so right now we have just the white IPA in the market.
Which is delicious.
Thank you.
And the bottle and graphic design is also equally very cool.
Thank you. Yeah. So we're working on launching our other styles. We have a Pilsner that's going to be coming out this spring, summer. It's based on the recipes that were made by the breweries in Bushwick in the early 20th century. They were all German immigrants in Bushwick. So there were, over two dozen there. So we're doing kind of our tribute to that style. And then next fall, or this fall, we'll be launching our Black Pale Ale. We'll also be, right now we're draft only. We have, I don't know how many accounts around Long Island, New York City, and Westchester. But we're going to be doing cans now, too.
Oh, amazing.
So that'll be hopefully this spring as
well. At our local bodegas?
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yep.
And so where can people find you, find out where they can drink you, reach out to you, et cetera?
Well, the website's the best way to reach out to us directly. And I mean, it's just info@bravenbrewing.com. Drop us a line whenever. Or there's a web submission form there, too. And beermenus.com. is the easiest way to see where we're actively on tap.
Because
at any bar or restaurant, they'll get the keg. And this has been a little frustrating because people ask, where near me is it ready to go? And we know where it's been sold, but we don't know if it's coming up from the basement yet. Is it still in the cold room? And beermenus.com is usually updated pretty real time to let you know where it's on tap.
Great. All right, well, thanks, guys, for coming by. Thanks for bringing the beer. You can stick around for the band.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. We've got Leave the Planet live next. Welcome to the studio, Leave the Planet.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Oh, good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Straight on drive from Baltimore?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're talking to that mic. Yeah.
for us singing.
Yeah, just a little bit delay.
Yeah, we can make a good start.
Yeah, we could make it spooky, but I don't know. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Natalie.
Okay.
What do you play in the band?
I sing and play guitar and synth.
And I'm Jack, and I play guitar, and I make some beats.
And I'm Jim, and I play bass.
Okay. Is this your first time in the States?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, right.
Welcome to, like, the coldest part of the year.
It's fine. We love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
How did you guys all meet and come together?
Basically, we met in London because where I live, we were looking for a new flatmate. And Natalie at that moment was looking for a new place to stay, so she moved into the flat. And then we discovered the same.
Yeah. And
Was it like a prerequisite for your roommate that they had to have musical talent, or was it just a happy coincidence?
It was a coincidence. Well, we actually kind of knew each other before because we were playing in different bands, and we were supposed to play together, but it didn't work out. But yeah.
Which bands?
I've got another project called MRM, which is a noise post-punk band.
And my old band was called Phosphor. It was like dark wave, synth pop.
So what was like the, was it like a 3 a.m. like, hey, we should start jamming together? Was it a more like nervousness or?
No, it just, it was like very natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all had all our instruments out in my room and, you know, it's just natural that you're going to start picking it up and like coming out together. With things, you know?
And we also love the same band. So we wanted to have a kind of dream pop project.
Yeah.
Who are some of your favorites?
Slow Dive, Galaxy 500. That's
Cocteau Twins.
Yeah.
And how did the, you know, songwriting, is there like official songwriting time, or is it just like Sunday morning hungover?
Literally, we work on it every day, almost. Yeah. Yeah. Almost every day.
Sometimes it works better when you've got a hungover.
Yeah. And how did you end up joining the band?
I joined the band because I knew Natalie and a few other people in London, and then you needed a bass player, so I thought I'll join.
So is all the practicing, writing, recording done at the apartment?
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah, at the moment. We're going to record the album in like with a proper producer, sound engineer who's going to help us with the recording.
Okay. Why don't we hear a song?
Sure.
Yeah,
what are you guys
going
to play first?
Yeah, we're going to play Unreleased Life. It's one of our first single.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
It's really interesting. Like, we always talk about seasons for records and like when they, you know, when it's appropriate to listen or to get the maximum effect out of a record. And it's obviously like a very winter kind of driven record. So like, what are some of the ways you try to capture like an impending winter or like a 9-degree day walking with headphones?
Well, we live in London, so we experience that every single day. Yeah. And it comes naturally. I think we're quite melancholic people. So it's kind of within us. It comes out naturally.
Yeah, I mean, is it in the chords or the writing or the influences? You know, it's like, how is it that you feel you can like drill down like what it feels to be in London at this time of year?
Yeah, it's a mixture of chords. Yeah, the chords, the effects, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I don't know. It just comes very naturally, and we don't set out to sound like anything.
And you guys have been traveling around Europe as well, playing, right?
Yeah. We did like Germany and Italy, like for some. When was it? Like in November?
Mm.
A 2 weeks tour. What's what you call it?
Who were you on the road with?
In Germany, we were on the road with Cocktail Twins.
Oh, amazing!
Yeah.
And how's been the reception, kind of as like a, you know, a newly formed project and kind of like beginning to find your way out there?
Pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
And have people found your music, or are you converting new fans?
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And where are some of the places, like for in East London, that you go out and, you know, hang with some of your contemporaries?
Yeah, we live in Dawson in East London, and yeah, we usually hang out there.
Yeah. Our favourite place is the Shacklebolt Arms. It's a live venue, and there's many good bands there.
Yeah, and it's very close to where we live. So
yeah.
We are quite lazy as well. So
yeah, we can just walk there. Walk home drunk within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And who are some of the other contemporaries that you have that, you know, are making music that you love?
Is it in London or in general?
In London. In London, there is a cool band called Antidust. They play like dream pop, indie pop, like they're very good. And another cool band called Sid Camp. It's kind of krauty rock band. They're very good as well. I mean, there are loads of good bands. Mm-hmm. That's good. It's good because, you know, you can go out and see like lots of good bands playing. It's never be boring. Right?
Cool. Why don't we hear another song?
Yeah, definitely.
What's this one?
How Does It Feel is a new song.
Thank you.
great. So how long are you in the States for?
Till the 17th.
And a ton of New York shows, right?
Yeah. We've got some other, how many? four
ten.
Shows, yeah.
We've got 10 shows all together, I think.
Yeah, they're all together, 10. Yeah.
And great venues, too.
Yeah, they're very nice, yeah.
Yeah, Baby's All Right is one of my favorites.
Yeah, we can't wait to play them.
Yeah, it's really, they've done such a good job with that. They've been on the show before, and they're just like the nicest dudes ever as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool spot. Any thing in particular excited about being in New York? Anything that you have to, like, any tourist stuff you want to, like, knock off the list?
That's great.
Everything, really. We went to Times Square the other day. That was overwhelming. But
yeah, what is your impression of Times Square?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. But it's great, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else, like any foods or places or...
I don't know. We just want to check out this area, really. Gonna have Leo taking us around.
He's a good tour guide.
Yeah,
he's been here for a while. Yeah,
we want to get a taste of everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's such like, I mean, as long as you don't mind the weather. I mean, from London, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's like.
I mean, it's a bit cold.
Yeah, it's a little bit colder
than
London.
Yeah, got my sheepskin. So.
Cool. And then what's coming up next for you guys?
Just recording the album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when do you go back, and when do you plan on putting it out?
Well, as soon as we get back, we plan on starting to record. And then putting it out, I don't know, September.
Yeah, I don't know. October, it depends. Yeah. Like how long it's gonna take to record it.
Full length.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, maybe 12 songs.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And then when do you come back to the States?
October. Hopefully.
Yeah, we're thinking to come
so
back
long.
For the CMJ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then summer plans.
Not
summer plans.
As of yet,
no.
We want to do as much as possible.
Yeah. Cool. Well, where can people find you? Where can people listen to you?
On Facebook, we've got our official page, Leave the Planet.
Okay.
And we've got as well Bandcamp and also on Canine official website, definitely. They can find us and all the other bands of Canine.
Awesome. Big shout out to Leo and K9. Thanks for bringing
Leo.
You guys. Leo's the best.
You've been the best.
Big thanks to the Brave and Brewing guys. Shout out to Anna and Darren. And I want to make sure we get one more song. And so what's the last song you're going to play for us?
We're going to play Winter Sleep. It's our latest single.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll be back next week for another episode of Snacky Tunes. We have Oland live in studio. And stay warm. Talk to you soon. Bye.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.